Good morning, my dear brothers and sisters. I'm not going to say the following thing is not to butter you up, but it really does give me joy on Sunday. I look forward to being able to see all of you, and so to see your bright and lovely, beautiful faces. So today, my dear brothers and sisters, I want to continue my homily of 2 weeks ago. I didn't plan it this way, but God planned it this way, so it works out well. I hope that you had, if you remember the homily from 2 weeks ago, I hope that you had the opportunity to go home and spend 5 minutes a day with the Lord and with the scripture reading of Jeremiah 1:4-8. I'm going to be issuing at the end of this homily another scripture challenge. So you can get ready your pens and papers and notepads now because I want to send you home to pray with something else. Why was it important to pray with Jeremiah? And it has a lot to do with the reading that we hear today. To give the gospel a little context, Jesus has been pushing the Pharisees, and he just finished the parable of the marriage feast, which we read last week, in which he reminds us about being ready for the kingdom of God when it comes. And now the Pharisees are kind of pushed to a point in which they're not happy. They're actively seeking to trap Jesus. And so they go after one of the biggest ways that they can trap him, which is with the question of taxes. And they try to put him into a no-win situation, which is, on the surface, really is a no-win situation. Because they say to him, is it lawful to pay the tax? And if he says no, then they go to the Romans and say he's getting people to, he doesn't want people to pay the taxes, and so you better do something about it, because the Romans didn't like when subjugated people did not pay their taxes. And if he says yes, pay your taxes, well, he goes and he upsets all of the Jews, who will see him as a collaborator for saying you should pay the taxes. And it's amazing that Jesus catches them in their lie, and with the lie, he gives them the truth, and he asks for a coin. And we have these beautiful words that Jesus says, which says, render therefore, you know, he asks, whose image? He says, render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And so I want us to ask ourselves, what are the things that belong to God? What is it that we should render to God? And I want to refer us back to the first reading of the prophet Isaiah. In the reading we heard this morning, the translation is not very good, because it said, for the sake of my servant Jacob and Israel, my chosen, I call you by name. And here's where the translation is off. It should say, I surname you. In the reading we heard, it says, I title you. And title you doesn't have the same meaning as surname does, especially for us in our society today. What does God mean by I surname you? Well, my dear brothers and sisters, we are in a society that is very much interested in our genealogy and where we come from. Right? We spend, not all of us, but some of us are very fascinated with our family history, with where our parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and that's wonderful, and we're interested in that because it tells us who we are. Our last name identifies us. It tells us where we come from. It tells us what nationality we are. And in some cases, like if we looked at my mother's maiden name, who had an Italian maiden name. Her maiden name was Caiazzo. If you, and this was in a lot of nationalities, in Italians, in particularly in the Italians and in the Irish, but in a lot of nationalities, was your last name was the town in which your parents were born. And so my grandfather was born in the town of Caiazzo. His family comes from the town of Caiazzo. And if you look in Italy and you look up the town of Caiazzo, you'll find it in, it's a city in northern, southern Italy. And so that tells me where my grandfather's family came from. It's our identity. And so because that says who we are, then God is saying to the people of Israel, saying, I surname you. In other words, what is your identity? Who are you? You are my child. I have given you your last name. So we could dare to say it this way. We could say my name should be Father Joseph Toledo, God. Not as in God, as in the place of God, but as Father Joseph Toledo, Son of God, Child of God. That is our identity. That is where you and I come from. That is where we're going. And it's important because it's important, this is why I sent you home with the reading of the prophet of Jeremiah, because I wanted you to soak in your sonship, in your daughtership of God, that we partake as children of God. And I was saying last week, there's a fine line, there's a difference between knowing that kind of in our heads and believing that. And so I'm hoping that as you spend time with Scripture, the purpose of giving you Scripture challenges is to kind of help to immerse you in grounding yourself and in spending time praying about your identity. Because, my dear brothers and sisters, we unfortunately live in a world which has lost its identity. But the problem is, not only has the world lost its identity, and it's a very frustrating thing, because we see it on TV and we say, you know, the world's going to heck in a handbasket, and we kind of grit our teeth at it and say, well, that's a shame. And then we kind of expect that political party will solve the problem of the world so that the world goes back to the way we think it should be. And my dear brothers and sisters, we are greatly deceived if we think a political party can do that, because they cannot. Why? Because, my dear brothers and sisters, what the world and what we, in many cases, have to rediscover, have to gain a new appreciation for, is our identity. And we have to help the world rediscover its identity. And until the world rediscovers its true identity, it's always going to be a mess. That doesn't mean God doesn't help. That doesn't mean God can't intervene. But my dear brothers and sisters, we have lost the sense of who we are. And sadly, because the world has lost its identity, in a lot of we are attacked by that. Our identity is attacked. And it really is sad to see, because the world hates us. The world doesn't want us, despises us. And in some cases, the world has conformed us. And in a lot of in some cases, without us even realizing it. But my dear brothers and sisters, we must stand up to the world by discovering who we are. By immersing ourselves in who we are. And that's why, my dear brothers and sisters, we can never become stagnant. You know, as human beings, we have we love to bed down. Do you know what I mean? We love to get comfortable. And once we get comfortable and we kind of find our groove and life is okay and it's good and I'm more or less okay, you know, then we become, we get comfortable. And my dear brothers and sisters, that can never happen, because the moment as Christians we become comfortable, the moment we forget our identity, the moment we don't live who we are, that's why as Christians we can always do better. And we always have to strive to be better. Now, I never forget today's the feast of St. John Paul II. And he said one time, never be happy with mediocrity. I think of that every so often, because I think of it myself as a priest. A lot of times it's not easy to stand up here and tell you things that you, or have to say things that you may not like or agree with. It's much easier. It would be a lot easier for me, trust me, and I have thought of this, it would be a lot easier for me to remain silent. It would be a lot easier for me not to call you and myself to better than what we are. That would be easy. In fact, in a lot of cases, I would prefer it. My human side, I would love to just say, I'm okay, you're okay, you go ahead, give it the good old college try, and go on with life. But my dear brothers and sisters, woe to me if I do not announce the gospel. If I don't call us to more. And today, my dear brothers and sisters, these scriptures are calling us to be different. We are different. We are different from the world. And we can never lose that perspective. And it's not easy. We live in a world in which it is not easy to be different. We live in a world which is constantly trying to pull us to conformity. But my dear brothers and sisters, there are some things that as children of God that we must always take courage in, and that is to always be fearless. Even in the face of the world, to never conform, to always live as child of God. How do we bring real, radical change to the world? By living our identity of who we are. Not by telling the world they're okay or, you know, do your best. No, but by truly living our identity. By truly living as children of God who have a Father in heaven who loves us. And also by never remaining silent. My dear brothers and sisters, we can never be quiet in the face of a world that hates us. And that is hard And I know that you are out there every day fighting this battle. So don't lose hope. Don't lose courage. Because the world does want to change you. The world does want to get you to just act like everything's fine. But my dear brothers and sisters, you have been surnamed by God. Carry that surname with pride and with joy, knowing and with surety. And my dear brothers and sisters, if we carry that name, my goodness, the radical change that we can bring to this world just by living out our identity. So, scripture challenge for today. We're going to go back to Jeremiah. And so if you didn't get a chance, if you didn't get a chance to pray this week with Jeremiah 1, 4 to 8, I invite you this coming week, pray with Jeremiah 4, 1 to 8, and you're going to add Jeremiah 1, verses 9 and 10, and then verses 17 to 19. Again, I'm not going to read it to you because I want you to go home and read it. This is, if you want to read it as a wonderful family activity to do too, spend 5 minutes with the kids and read it together, and then read it by yourself. It's okay if you spend more than 5 minutes. In fact, that's what I'm hoping you will do. But we start here, and hopefully we spend more time. And as we come to this Eucharist, we ask the Lord that he may give us the grace, to carry this surname of God, this surname of being children of God with us always.